very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, that is the brokenhearted, the bedraggled Virginia grad, Matt Barrows. You look sad. You look like somebody needs to give you a hug. Tony Bennett, we'll just start with him real quickly. Tony Bennett, your basketball coach, the guy who kind of made the program, well, at least remade it after it was pretty good with Ralph Sampson. But guy walks away retired. Barrows, what's going on in Virginia?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready to talk about this yet. This was a stunner. It happened at practice, and of course, Jacques Dubow came up to me. Hey, have you heard the big news? I hadn't, and yeah, it was like a gut punch. It's kind of shocking this close. The first game is in 20 days, and he's stepping down. So
Josh, he's the hand of death. He gives you the bad news, and you just got to take it. You got to be able to take it.
That's it. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to talk today. I'm going to try to pull through it. I am in my morning cap with a morning with a U. This is a tough one. This is Bill Walsh stepping down.
No, my goodness. You got to get a conference call with Ty Jerome, Malcolm Brogdon, and all the other guys. I know you're all tight with them. You guys have a little
bit of
figure out the way past this. All right. We are a 49ers podcast, not a University of Virginia men's basketball podcast, unfortunately. I know, sad for us all. We got 49ers, a rather large game. I mean, last week's Thursday was a huge game, interdivision. It's kind of a personal game, I thought, you know, kind of. Where are they? They got to be able to beat the Seahawks within division. Don't go with it. But this is more kind of a bigger picture, right? This is the team that's beat them in two Super Bowls, including in February, destroyed them in 2022. Christian McCaffrey's first game with the 49ers just seems to have their way with the 49ers, with a close game, blowout. But let's go. You know, it's a huge game. We'll talk about the magnitude of this coming up on Sunday at Levi's. But first, let's get into the injuries. Always have to do the injuries. Like, what things are you underlining, saying, okay, these are some injuries that are going to be problematic, and which guys do you think are going to be back for Sunday?
Yeah, it looks like two positions are going to be problematic. One is wide receiver. No Juwan Jennings the last 2 days. And if you're not practicing on the Thursday, unlikely that you're going to play. He's got a hip issue. And that sort of brings up the question, okay, who steps up into that number three, then number one in some games this year, wide receiver role. And a lot of people are asking about Ricky Pearsall, who returned to practice this week. He's not yet on the active roster. They still have to activate him. We'll ask Shanahan about that tomorrow, of course. But my sense is that this guy missed a lot of practice even before the shooting incident. I don't know whether 1 week of practice is enough to get him going. It might be, though. I mean, Shanahan might have watched him all week and decided, you know, this guy's got it. We're going to put him into this game. This would be sort of the scenario where they want a Ricky Pearsall. When one of their top three guys is out, Ricky Pearsall steps up and, you know, he gets open. So that'll be something to watch. I don't think it'll be this week. I'm thinking maybe next week against the Cowboys, or he's part of a big crew of guys who come in after the bye. The other position of concern is defensive tackle. Another surprise guy on the injury report today. It's Kevin Givens with a groin. Givens is on the injury report. He did not practice. Malik Collins is on the injury report, both knees. The injury report distinguishes left and right knee. He's got both left and right knee. And then Jordan Elliott has a knee injury. Elliott and Collins both practiced in a limited fashion. They'll play, but kind of speaks to the state of that interior defensive line. That's a group that's going to be very much looking forward to the bye week coming up in a couple of weeks. So everybody else either practiced, or I should say The other two who didn't practice were the two kickers.
Yep.
So this is looking like an Anders Carlson game, Tim. For the third straight week, Tim Kawakami is going to have to sort of do a quickie evaluation on a new kicker and how he's booting it before kickoff.
You know how much I love it when Barrows turns to me and goes, "You charting those kickers? You charting the pregame kicks? What'd you say? What'd you see?" I was like, "Oh, good. I guess it's my responsibility now." But I do love it. I do it. And Matthew Wright was solid, not a good kickoff guy, but there's no way. I just like the way he was holding his shoulder after that hit. You can't put him back on the field unless you tell him not to touch anybody on a tackle, and you can't tell someone on the field not to touch anybody on a tackle. And given the 49ers kickoff coverage ability, he probably would have to try to tackle somebody. That's just what they do. What, the last two times somebody's returned, or last two or three times, it's either been a touchdown or the kicker's gotten hurt. That's been bad. So probably we'll see a new kicker. Feels like Evan Anderson game. You know what? I mean, like he's their last defensive tackle standing, it feels like. And on the receiver thing, I do think it's probably early for Pearsall. It would be great to see him just given what he's been through. And I was there in the locker room yesterday, and he was in incredible spirits. He was bouncing around. You could tell other players love that he's, you know, got the energy. He wants to be out and practice. He practiced for the first time on Monday. It would be it's just a big emotional lift, I think, for them to see him practicing. They knew he was headed that way. But to see him, I think, helped, and to see him in such great mood. It's a bit much, I think, to ask him to jump right in there and, you know, go get snaps in this big game. Maybe, as you said, but you know, I'm going to say Chris Conley, just you put him in there. He produces. You know, you do have Jacob Cowing, maybe you can do some of that slot stuff. Ronnie Bell, who, whatever, controversial figure, you know, certainly in my opinion, but they still have him. I do think it would be tough to start making all these roster moves for guys you're not sure are going to play, you know, or how long they can go. When you have to hold this extra spot for a kicker, right? You're going to have to get right onto you're going to have to get Carlson onto the roster. So that's kind of blocking out someone else. I don't know. The math seems hard to me. I can see Kyle Shanahan going, you know what? Let's go two tight ends. Let's go heavy. Let's run the freaking ball. And, you know, if they can stop it, fine. If they can't, we're going to run the ball 40 times. And then if we're running the ball well, then they're going to go play action to one of the, you know, to Kittle or Saubert off of that. I can just feel that Kyle wanting to do this. I know that's, the Chiefs are a tough team. And the 49ers haven't been able to do that in four games in the Shanahan era. But can you feel that? Like Kyle just, you know what, let's just go tight ends. Let's go Juszczyk and two tight ends, 22 package. Let's just go run it up. Or could be one running back and two tight ends and keep Debo and Ayuk on the field, both of them. But I can just see Kyle saying, you know what, let's make this simple. Let's streamline this. Let's just go. You're telling me I got to worry about the pass rush, all these blitzes. Let's just run the ball 40 times and see what they can do with it.
I agree with you. The only hitch in that is that Jordan Mason is on the report too with a sore shoulder. You know, so he's not going to have his usual allotment of snaps, I wouldn't think. It could be a big Debo game.
Yeah, Debo.
A big Debo in the backfield game. That's what I would do if I were the 49ers. He's also on the injury report, however, with a wrist injury. They do risk overusing him. He's been beat up already this season, and he's a guy that by the end of the year, if you're relying on him, he's going to come out a lot of games, which is what happened in, what was it, 21, 22? All the years are combining right now, but he
21 was his great. Yeah, was his great. Yeah.
Right. He barely made it to the end of the 21 season and actually came out of each of those playoff games for a stretch. So that's something that they have to guard against. They don't really have that third down back on the roster. Debo is in that role, but you do risk overusing him even before the bye week. And we're not even talking about the dramatic home stretch that they're going to have. We're talking about mid-October. So, I mean, they've got to be careful with their chess pieces.
Shockingly, they have not signed a veteran running back. I knew that as soon as I keep bringing it up every week, they're just not going to do it. They just don't do this. Jordan Mason, one hit. Like you could, he's ready, he's starting, he's dressed, and one hit, he could be out. You know, it was one hit in the second half of the Seattle game, and he was out. I don't know why they keep doing this, but they do keep doing it. Whatever, they won on Thursday night. Maybe it won't be a problem this one. I just don't understand why you don't have another running back behind Garendo and Patrick Taylor that you go, you know what, this guy, we know he can pick up the blitz. We know we can go out on third down and get us 4 yards if everybody else is covered. But they don't seem to believe in this. So maybe I should stop talking about it. I probably will keep talking about
it. Wouldn't it have been nice to sign Jerick McKinnon for Chiefs week? Very poetic. And he certainly would be able to help out on third downs. I mean, the reason that they haven't is because they're optimistic about Christian McCaffrey, which is good news if you're a 49ers fan. I don't know how, you know, rock solid that's going to be this year. I'd err the way you are. I mean, just have the guy ready, have the guy in camp and ready to play.
Want to turn, you know, at halftime, they're up 17-13. You're feeling good, and then you don't have a veteran running back, and it's Isaac Garendo for the rest of the way, or maybe he gets hurt, right? You know,
he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, running backs get hurt. Running backs get hurt, and they know it. They've had this. You know, they've been through it, not just in the McCaffrey era, but in other eras, but they just don't really feel it. So, whatever. It's the way it's been going. Okay, what's the matchup you're looking for in this? There's tons of juicy matchups. We've seen this game many times. I was comparing it. I had Mike Silver on my podcast earlier, and I was comparing it to Warriors-Cavaliers meeting 4 times in the finals in a row. It's not quite like that, but you do feel like the teams know each other quite well. The same head coaches, the same DC, Steve Spagnuolo on the Chiefs. Obviously, Kyle is the play caller on offense, so they're matching up. What's the matchup you're looking for? What's the one that intrigues you?
Well, Pooney v. Chris Jones is a good one. That's one that the 49ers have made an upgrade in since February. I think the 49ers have upgraded in two areas. One is at cornerback and one is at right guard. Downgraded at running back because there's no Christian McCaffrey. And then just the injuries along the defensive line, I think, make that a downgrade. I know that Chase Young last year was pilloried for his effort plays in the NFC Championship game against the Lions. He actually had a good Super Bowl. And
had a sack.
What's that? Yeah, sack. And Nick Bosa had a very good Super Bowl. So the defensive line showed up in that game. I just don't know if they've got the horses, the bodies to show up in this one. So I'm looking at those. I think that, you know, what kind of coverages that the Chiefs play is going to be interesting. Last year's Chiefs squad had Legarius Sneed, big physical press, man-to-man corner who keeps, you know, wide receivers from getting off the line of scrimmage. And that's what sort of prompted the 49ers to almost make Juwan Jennings the MVP of the game. No Jennings in this game. One of my Twitter followers wrote, okay, no Jennings in this game. Who's going to throw a touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey?
That's good. That's good.
Jennings was key to the 49ers last year. So, I mean, it could be that whoever plays that number three role is going to get some passes thrown his way. But I'm interested to see, do the 49ers match up better? Do they perform better against the Chiefs secondary in this game? Brandon Ayuk got open in the Super Bowl. The problem was that Purdy either wasn't looking at him or was the victim of a bad pass protection on some of those key plays. So on paper, Brandon Ayuk does well against press coverage. So this should be a good Brandon Ayuk game, and we'll have to see whether that bears out. But that to me is interesting in what I'll be watching in this game.
Yeah, I think Ayuk and Debo are both under the spotlight. They both only had 3 catches in the Super Bowl, you know, for like 33 and 39 yards. And I don't think they had 1 catch more than 20 or even that much. Very interesting to watch. I think Debo could be, you know, the running back and the receiver. It could be a Debo game. We know when Kyle is got a moment, he thinks he's got to win the game. He goes to Debo so many times. I'm going to flip it on the other side. I agree with you on all that. But that regular season game 2 years ago, how are the Chiefs beating the 49ers offensively? they were just beating misdirection to the outside. And they were just racing around the edges. And that was D'Amico Ryans. Like that was one of the, whoa, what's going on with D'Amico here? Obviously a great defensive coordinator. I'm just saying there's something with the 49ers defensive scheme that can get people beating them to the out edge. We've seen it on fourth down in the Super Bowl. You know, there's a lot of discussion, and Eric Branch and I have been talking about it, and you know, we've been asking Bosa about it. Like, is your responsibility absolutely to play the dive, the running back dive? And he has absolutely confirmed it. People on the 49ers have absolutely confirmed it. I'm not doubting him. I'm just saying, well, then how are you covering, how are they covering the running, the quarterback keeping it? It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, isn't, you know, Super Bowl on the line, win or lose play? Would you rather have the running back have it, or would you rather have Patrick Mahomes? And it doesn't really seem like they always have that covered. You know, it's a little confusing. I think Kyler Murray had that same play, right, against the 49ers this year, and they didn't cover it. And I felt that was probably Devondre Campbell having to get out there. But it's a tough play for a linebacker. You got traffic. You've got, you know, they don't have a linebacker just standing on the edge. They have a linebacker. They're stacked. They're in the middle. So can Nick Sorensen figure that out? Maybe it means Bosa can't crash on that play. And there are times when I've seen Bosa just on his own, as he's talked about, like he kind of almost has to make the call on his own to not crash that and stay on the edge. Maybe Fred Warner, you know, does something different. I've called him the co-defensive coordinator. I do really think he kind of is. And Sorensen, absolutely. I'm not trying to overlook him. Maybe there's something that he does. You know, they've played the Chiefs well in the Super Bowls defensively, except for at the end. They did not play them well in that regular season game at Levi's 2 years ago. If Nick Sorensen throws out a great ball game, that changes the way we look at him, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Like, no, oh my God. Sure. Like,
you know, so I'm looking at that. Is there a scheme? You know, they don't have Dre Greenlaw, and they don't have some of the speed you might want on the edges, but you should be able to devise something where you just can't, we don't give up those edges. And there's no Pacheco for the Chiefs, so they don't have to be as worried as that run up the middle. I don't know that Kareem Hunt is that guy anymore. But let's see, you know, they still have Mecole Hardman, like all those guys we know, Xavier Worthy around the, they have that stuff. They're not great receivers, but they can do that, you know, around to the perimeter stuff on misdirection. Can Nick Sorensen have a sound, you know, really solid scheme that makes sure the edges are covered? I'd be very curious. And if he does, I think his reputation takes, you know, goes up, and it's been taking a beating a little bit early on, just since we don't really know about him. That's something I'm really looking at. Other than Anders Carlson pregame, that's the number one thing that I'm looking at.
you know, the Chiefs have just owned the fourth quarter in those Super Bowls. And it's on both sides of the football. They have call plays that they didn't call in the first three quarters. And that really has shaken up the 49ers offense, their protection. This is when the Chiefs start to blitz and show kind of exotic things in crunch time. And that's a Chief MO. That's one of their hallmarks. And, who was it? It was Colton McKivitz who said, in gotta have it time, they've beaten us. And I think the same can be said for the Chiefs offense. I mean, that's when they rolled out the quarterback options and the Mahomes run. It was late in the game, and the 49ers hadn't seen it all game, and they'd gotten kind of set in their ways about, you know, what the Chiefs were doing. And then the Chiefs threw them a curveball in crunch time. And that's something that they've got. I mean, if it's another game like that where the 49ers get out to a lead, or it's close at the end of the third quarter, that has to be kind of paramount in their minds. This is when they throw the change up to us. We've got to be ready for it. And it's something that's thrown them in the two Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like, how have we seen this mismatch strategically happen? And I would say it is the exotic stuff late, because they played them well, again, in two Super Bowls. Yeah. We had lead in halftime, both games. And I was kind of looking back at last year, it was like 10-3 or something, whatever it was. It was a really good game defensively to that point. And then they just can't stop the Chiefs at the end when it's just field goal, touchdown, whatever it was. It wasn't like touchdown, but it was just they couldn't stop them from scoring. And then Spagnuolo does his, you know, double gap, you know, whatever, double A gap stuff. You know, the things that like the Shanahan's schematic is this is how we do it. These are the rules by which we do it. These are the things that they do, the rules that they do. And sometimes I think if you go, we're going to break our rules. We're not going to do anything that we do normally. We're just going to do it differently. That kind of screws up the finely tuned mechanics of a Shanahan offense and maybe, maybe of the 49ers defense. Although I don't think it was as finely tuned last year on defense. It kind of was hold on tight. And let the superstars do it. I think we know what the 49ers locker room would be like if they win this game, right? They were really jubilant after the Seahawks game. We could hear them in the interview room. It's pretty loud, but they will be going crazy if they beat the Chiefs. I think we both know that. It would mean a lot mentally for this. But what do you think a loss would feel like for them, Barros? Like, let's just say it's a typical close loss to the Chiefs. You lose at the end. Would they be devastated? Would this be something that kind of knocks them back during the season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's nothing that a win against the Cowboys the following week wouldn't fix. And let's face it, the Chiefs have an advantage. I mean, they're coming off their bye. You look at their injury report, there's one guy on it, their defensive end, Mike Dana. The 49ers have like 15 guys on their injury report. So, I mean, there are reasons that the 49ers might lose this game. Chiefs are undefeated. Another advantage I think the Chiefs has, they're undefeated, yet they're not playing Chiefs football. So there's enough for the coaches to sort of get on top of the players, enough for the players to realize, okay, there's more meat on this bone. We can do better. A combination of circumstances that I think are largely against the 49ers in this game. If I had to pick, I think that the Chiefs are going to win it. But again, a resounding win against the Cowboys, which they've done in recent matchups against them, would, you know, have them feeling good going into the bye. They'd be 4-4. But with the idea that, okay, we're going to get some really key pieces back coming out of the bye. And we're talking about kicker and running back and linebacker. I mean, it's all three phases of the game. It could be a very dramatically different squad as we head into November.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And it could really turn out that way. They go to the bye 4-4 and, you know, maybe they get McCaffrey after that, maybe a little bit later than that. Maybe they get Greenlaw back a little later than that, get a kicker back. But I just think from a self-esteem point of view, losing another one to the Chiefs, you know, we know the 49ers strut. We know they're confident. That's good because you're a good team. You've won big games. You've got great players. The Pro Bowl is that's your team sometimes. But you lose five straight to the Chiefs, including two Super Bowls and two since February. At your place, I know the bye thing, but I think that would really kind of punch a hole in this aura. Doesn't mean they can't recapture. Right. They can win a bunch of games. We've seen them do it. It's not an NFC team. It's an AFC team. They still have a lot of season to go. I just think kind of just, you know, metaphorically, just the way they think about themselves would be harmed if they lose this in a similar way to the same team, the same quarterback, the same coach. I don't want to overblow it. You know, you lose by 3 points. The NFL happens all the time. And then you come back and you win your next one. We've seen them do that this season. But I just think this one would be a little bit different. This one might stick with them just as a, you know, symbolic point of who are we? Are we the best team in the league? Well, now no, we're not actually. We are not actually the best team because that team over there beats us every fucking time. I don't know if that would be a wonderful thing for them to absorb in that locker room.
Well, I mean, this is a team that just lost to the Cardinals. So, I mean, the aura that they're, you know, big and bad is on the ropes right now because of the way they've gotten off the season. I just think that there's still plenty of time to sort of regain their swagger and become the beast that they were last year. I mean, I do agree that, you know, if everything were going right now, if they had all their weaponry and they were coming off their bye, and then the Chiefs came in and beat them despite having those advantages. They're playing at home, et cetera, et cetera. That would be kind of something to shake them, make them doubt. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, tell me the score of the game, and then that'll probably be a better indication. If it's like it was what it was in 2022, yeah, that's
going to be bad.
That's going to rattle them. But again, you know, 2022, they found their feet. Yep. They went into Philadelphia on a real roll, and you know, we know what happened. But they had their swagger back by the end of the season.
All right, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of discussion about that. We know the season that Brock's having. It's been terrific. He had an incredible game in Seattle. Mahomes, you know, he's not throwing for a lot of yards. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the same receiving core. Kelsey's had a slow start, but they win games. Like, that matters. I'm sorry, it just does. Do you see a looming Purdy-Mahomes discussion? Do you see that as a matchup? Do you see at some point Purdy going, okay, let's go throw for throw with this guy?
No, I don't. You know, my image of Patrick Mahomes this season, I know it's a little different season for him, but my image of him is him kind of running off the field with joy, you know, helmet in hand and celebrating an end of game win. That's the bottom line. That's how he does it. And, you know, that's what he's become known for. And Purdy has begun to, you know, exercise that stereotype or that demon that he can't win close games or come from behind games a little bit. But I think that's still out there, and people want to see that. You mentioned Nick Sorensen, you know, being a real beneficiary of a 49ers win. Yeah, Brock Purdy would be as well, I think. Just the contrast in the quarterbacks, Purdy and the 49ers delivering Mahomes and the Chiefs their first loss of the year. That would I think that would do a lot for Purdy's national reputation, which is still sort of suffering. I don't really give a crap about any of that stuff. I know that's sort of talk radio midweek banter. But it bothers a lot of people, and I think that would start to change the conversation a bit.
I've seen ESPN do some stats, and my colleague David Lombardi wrote a piece how the stats right now are that Purdy's having a better year than Mahomes. Stats, you know, and the stats said that Purdy had a better year than Mahomes last season. Stats, and whatever you take him as word, he's not a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying, when ESPN shows that graphic, if you're the 49ers, you don't want Patrick Mahomes to see that graphic. And I'm sure he did. I'm sure the Chiefs made sure he's seeing it. He probably saw Lombardi's story, too. They're probably making sure people see this.
Yeah, they're going to blame the San Francisco Standard for the blowout on Sunday.
If you're Patrick Mahomes, you know what? Maybe I could put up better stats than Brock Purdy. I think you think maybe I could. We'll see. You know, again, with all this lead up, what does it mean? Nothing, but it does fit what we're going to think at the end of it. Like, let's say Brock Purdy goes for 4 touchdowns and 375 and runs for some first downs. 49ers win 35-24. I mean, like, that's going to be like, this guy might be the best quarterback in the NFC right now. Like, that conversation will happen, whatever it means. I think he's already been there. But if you in the NFC, who's better than him right now? I mean, you know, Sam Darnold, is that the guy you're saying is better than him? I mean, yeah. I mean, he's, you would have said, you know, maybe, you know, I'm trying to even think who would be.
Like Matt Stafford?
Jared Goff. I mean, you know, Jaden Daniels. It's just like Kirk Cousins. Like, he's like, listen, the best quarterbacks are in the NFC. We're kind of cutting that off. Mahomes, Herbert, you know, Burrow, there's Stroud, Josh, like, there's Josh Allen. Like, those are all great quarterbacks. Lamar Allen, Josh Allen. I just put Lamar and Josh together. That would be a tough.
That'd be a hell of a quarterback.
That'd be a very good
quarterback. Be a hell of a quarterback.
But I think in the NFC, which is the relevant discussion for the 49ers in the playoffs, Brock Purdy, whatever happens on Sunday, is one of the top two or three in the NFC. And if he wins this game and he plays great, usually he's won. He's won the NFC. That's who their competition is to get to the big game. It's not necessarily against Patrick Mahomes. It's just that he's played very well this season. He played very well last season. He throws the ball downfield. He's making plays with his legs. Maybe that just gets underlined 20 times on Sunday. Maybe he doesn't play so great, and it becomes a whole different discussion. I'll still think he's one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the NFC, no matter what happens. But this could really, you know, push it in a direction. And maybe I'm heading that way in a game column. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the game. I won't pre-write it, Barrows. I will not.
Don't pre-write it. Yeah, it'll be no matter what happens. It'll be interesting to sort of compare Purdy in this game to Purdy in the Super Bowl. I mean, he had a good game in the Super Bowl, but there are plays that he missed, and that one at midfield where the Chiefs were blitzing from the slot. He had Ayuk open. He went to Juwan Jennings instead. That's you know, that's sort of the next step for him. I mean, he's been so good, so astute on everything, but seeing those kind of next level plays, anticipating Spagnuolo and what he's going to do, and sort of seeing that quickly, I think is you know, what brings him to the next tier. And you know, this game ought to be a good illustration of whether he's making that progress. So yeah, Brock Purdy versus aggressive coverage and press coverage and blitzes is going to be a great storyline for this game.
Without Christian McCaffrey, you know, that, you know, that matters too. We all remember that was Christian McCaffrey's first game, that 2022 game, and it didn't work out so well, but the rest has been okay for Christian McCaffrey. So I just think Purdy's held this offense together. It's 3-3. They haven't been great, but it's not been Brock Purdy's fault. And if they didn't have Brock Purdy, if this was, don't want to demean Jimmy Garoppolo, who did a lot for this team, but if this was Jimmy Garoppolo quarterbacking or Nick Mullins, they would not be 3-3. They'd be looking at 2-4, maybe worse than that. Now they had two games they should have won, so it's a whole other conversation with that, but I think Purdy's been terrific at a time when they've needed him to be terrific without Christian McCaffrey. You know, if McCaffrey's back and they've got some other pieces back, Pearsall, whatever, maybe he doesn't need to be the guy, but I think he will be the guy still. I think this will carry over through. Like, he's the guy. Kyle doesn't like talking about it. Like, maybe you throw the ball 55% of the time instead of running it 52 the other way, but I think they're kind of evolving in that kind of offense. You got this quarterback. It's 3rd and 4. You're not running it. You're throwing the ball. And sometimes you're throwing the ball on 3rd and 1 too, because this guy is proving that he can convert this stuff.
Wait a second. Early in the podcast, you were saying run the ball.
Throw
it 55 times. That's the only
way. I'm saying Juwan Jennings, who is a really – if you're going to be shaky with a third wideout, go two tight ends, and maybe you throw the ball out of that set. But
Eric Saubert game. I love it. Yeah.
Saubert game. And they've not targeted in the last three games. Your guy, what's that? What is going on there?
Well, and the offense is sputtering. So I think the two are related.
6 targets in the first 3 games, 4 catches. Zilch in the last 3 games. That is just
terrible.
That's an affront.
Management. That's fireable.
That's an affront to all mankind that you're not getting Harry Sauber the ball. All right, with that, Barros, you got anything else?
You cheered me up. You cheered me up, Tim. Okay, thanks a lot. I was in the dumps over the UVA news, but yeah, you gave me a couple of laughs. So thank you for that.
I hate to say it. I told you this before. Like, it's the first person I thought of when I saw the Tony Bennett news. Barros.
What is Barros going to do until what, March? Nothing. Sitting in a dark room, basically.
They might come out of this stronger than ever, Barros. You never know. You know, the Cavaliers, they're known to be gutsy. They're known to come back from adversity.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
We're counting for all. The football team every week shows us that. So
yes.
All right, Barros. Hopefully we got through some troubled times, and we will see if you're fully recovered by Sunday. Like I got recovered from the food poisoning.
Yeah, good for you. Get that stomach back.
All right, everybody, that's the show for today. Thanks.